farmers. Yeah, that's a disincentive for farmers to to plant more of those crops the next time you're growing season. So we exasperate the situation. Whereas if we would, instead of taking our own grain in, if we bought grain next door, you know, agriculture around the world is very regional. It's not all of Africa that's in a famine at the same time.
And
it's one valley or one ecozone.
Right.
You know, and that may be 200 miles across. You know, and go 300 miles and there's an abundance perhaps. Mm. You know, and if instead of shipping grain in, we bought it next door,
right,
we would raise the price, increase the incentive for the farmers to grow again.
But isn't it kind of just a myth of, isn't the U.S. really kind of trying to crash the market so that they can create more dependence on U.S. goods?
Well, yeah, is Farm Bureau really trying? Yeah, they wouldn't admit that.
Right.
Yeah, but they have their self-interest. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and are they doing it purposefully against the farmer in Ethiopia or Mozambique, or are they doing it, you know, simply because they don't care about the farmer? You know, they care about the farmer here and not the farmer there, because the more we can expose the mechanics of it, yeah, the broader the community. I mean, the farm community itself is 2% or less, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's not the body politic anymore.
Right.
It used to be a major political block.
Right, now it's consumers.
It is not, at this point. Public opinion can change things. Will it? And only if if we speak up and show the logic of, we pay a lot of money out for, military and other things that is designed to maintain order, which could be done just by having decent economics around the world.
Yeah.
What's really in our interest? Well, there are 10 different ways to argue that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I'd like to argue...
Whose interest, yeah.
Yeah. But our mutual interest. Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of...
who's we and...
Oh, sure. Yeah, but...
Talking about...
But we're now in a global economy. And we're in a global... drive for oil, and we're in a global drive for food, and we're in a global... labor supply and a lot of things, and we better wake up to that, and realize that, by anticipating and working with the needs of other parts of the world, we can help ourselves. That can take many forms. It's not a simple world, but...
So, in what ways does that kind of... international policy strong-arming negatively affect us?
Well...
To, have people starving in any part of the world in terms of mutual interests.
Yeah. I mean, we can't say, that Iraq was caused by a starving population, but we can say perhaps that Somalia was or is. Somalia is not a hot topic war, but it is one. Congo is, a terrible, terribly unstable place that we have major interest in because of, various minerals that are there. And what are we going to do if it falls apart? Well, we'll do something. We've been organizing an AFRICOM military command, to be able to cope with that, and they're out trying to gather information and figure out what they'll do, create option plans and stuff, and those are not going to be free options. They're going to be extremely expensive. I mean, it's good to see, Washington saying, oh, maybe we're paying too much for the military. Oh, yeah? Paying a lot too much.
Yeah.
That military is not the only way to stabilize the world. Whenever we get people down to the point of near starvation, we're going to
have
insecurity.
Conflict.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And either we're going to.
Yeah, and like where we could be paying for agricultural infrastructure, we're just paying for, weapons,
right,
which are far more
costly. Are non-productive. Yeah. I mean, that's my opinion.
Yeah.
There's the old argument that, we create a lot of jobs by creating military equipment, but that's sort of a dead-end street. I mean, the secondary consequences of military equipment is not production, but destruction.